You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, let me start by saying today that we are a gateway. We are a gateway. And you're like, hang on a second, no, that's our name. Yes, it is. It is our name. But there's much more to it. And we're a gateway to and we're a gateway for. And I'm going to unpack that for us this morning. And you know, there are times that I'm privileged to share a sermon that adds to the very core of who we are as a church and why we exist. And it expands our understanding of our values and helps us grow and develop into how we outwork the good news of Jesus. And I just want to put it out there today that today is one of those moments. Today is one of those sermons. This message is one of those sermons, and it is going to empower us and give us revelation and truth around the fact that we are a gateway to and we are a gateway for. Thoughts and feelings like, when I come to Gateway, I feel good or great or welcomed or part of something. I feel like I fit. Today, we're actually going to put it much more clearly than those feeling words. We're going to take it deeper to what those feelings actually are. We're going to put some fuller understanding into who we are in our words and our deeds and our actions as a church. The feeling and the vibe is going to be captured so clearly. I've had a couple of people say to me over the last month or so, it's just such a good vibe. Like, let's capture that in some biblical truths about who we are as a church. You know, there are moments that when you meet people who are missing certain things in their life, you meet people who are hurting, you meet people who are struggling, you meet people who are going through trouble moments, and you know that they need authentic-based, Christ-based family. That's what they actually need. And the hope is this morning when we unpack We Are a Gateway is that you'll actually now have the answer to where they can find that very thing that they're looking for, because you know that we are a gateway for that. We are a gateway for that. We are a gateway to find the very thing that people are searching for. First, let me start with this. Let's have an explanation of the word gateway. A gateway is an entry point. A gateway is an entry point to a space, a truth, a revelation. A gateway is used to provide access. Going through a gateway to provide access to a space or a truth or a revelation. Let me start this morning with this. I'm going to set the bar this morning with this. Jesus is the gateway. Jesus is the gateway. In John 10 verse 9, it says this. I am the gateway. Well, that pretty backs up my point, doesn't it? Jesus says, I am the gateway. To enter through me is to experience life, freedom, and satisfaction. Jesus describes himself as the gateway. What is he describing himself as? The entry point. He's describing himself, if you want freedom, if you want fullness of life, if you want salvation, I am the entry point to those very things. The entry point to freedom, the entry point to forgiveness, the entry point to rest, eternal life is found in Jesus Christ alone. No other can provide that. No other can provide that. And Jesus takes it a step further. Rather than being detached from us, he comes to us seeking relationship. And he puts it like this. Revelation 3 verse 20. Behold, I'm standing at the door and knocking. If your heart is open to hear my voice and you open the door within, I will come into you and feast with you and you will feast with me. What I love about this is Jesus isn't saying, hey, the door's over there. If you can make it to the door, if you know how to press the green button to get out, I'll let you come into relationship with him. No, no. He comes to us. He's like, let me come into your heart. I'm the entryway, but let me come into your heart. I want to come and dwell with you. I want to give you freedom and eternal life. In the ERV version, it says at last, here I am, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with you. And you, it's this place of intimate relationship. You know those moments when you're with friends and it's just this moment, you're over a meal together and just sharing and pouring your heart out backwards and forwards? Jesus is like that, but times 1 billion. This intimate, he doesn't want to just sit across the table from you. He wants to be in us, part of us, whoever we are. You know, when we talk about the gateway or the doorway, I'm just going to set up a bit of a foundation for us this morning with this. We look at that scripture there that says, I'm at the door knocking. You know, and when we go back to the Aramaic translated, this is what it says. I've been standing at the door of your heart knocking. And we catch this picture of Jesus knocking at the door. And this picture actually directs us to the process of an ancient Jewish wedding tradition. It's part of the invitation. In the time of Jesus being on earth, a bridegroom and his father would come to the door of the bride-to-be. And as part of this tradition, as part of this ceremony, he would be carrying a betrothal cup of wine and the bride price. And standing outside the door that they would knock. And if she opened the door, she was saying, yes, I will be your bride. I will be connected to you in relationship. And this is the picture of Jesus, the bridegroom, and his father coming to the door. It's like, and when you open the door, it's this is you saying, yes, I will be connected to you in relationship. I will be yours and you will be mine. They're knocking on the door of our hearts. Jesus and God the Father knocking on the door of our hearts, inviting us to be the bride of Christ. Enter through the doorway. Enter through the access point. Enter through the gateway to relationship with God. Jesus knocking at the door. In John 14:6, Jesus explains it like this. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes next to the Father except through union with me. To know me is to know my Father too. What a beautiful passage of scripture for us. You go through Jesus, he's the truth, he's the way, he's the life. You go through him. He is how we have relationship with God the Father. I want to preface my teaching today by saying, or by putting some definition around we are a gateway. You know, the scriptures are very clear around the picture of oneness through Christ. I've already heard people talk, listen to the conversations this morning, people were talking about being in oneness in Christ. We are one church, one body, united in Jesus, through Jesus. And so when we talk about that we are a gateway, I'm definitely not talking about the name of our church. It's a great name for a church. What I am talking about is we, us, together, we collectively are facilitators for people, facilitators for each other. We actually create gateways. You're at work with someone and say, hey, Easter's coming up. Would you like to come along to church? You are facilitating a gateway moment for someone to actually come and have Jesus go, will you love me? I love you. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about that we are a gateway. We are called to be people who understand our salvation. People who have a revelation of salvation, who are people who outwork their salvation through their life and in their life with good, healthy practices like the following. There's a whole lot of scriptures that come up on the screen, and we start with Acts 1, 14. These are the good, healthy practices that we actually outwork when we understand and outwork our salvation. They all join together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and his brothers, constantly joining together in prayer. Oneness, joining together. We are called to be in as one body in Christ. Acts 2 verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Together, one place, joined together. Acts 2, 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. 1 Peter, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Philippians 2, 1 to 4. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love and being of full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but to the interest of others. Bible is quite clear. He's called us to oneness and unity in Christ. Not oneness and community being connected to one person. Not oneness and community being connected to your pastor. No, oneness and community and unity in and through Christ. We are the church. We are the church. So my encouragement to all of us today is this. Let us go beyond where we have been in our unity. Let us go beyond where we've been in our togetherness, our oneness. This is the call of God to his church. It's the heart of God to his church. And so I'm going to put some statements out here this morning about when I say that we are a gateway to and we are a gateway for. I'm going to put some things out there. There's 100 things that could be up on the screen. There's probably 300 things that could be up, but these are the things that we're going to focus on this morning. So when we say we are a gateway, can we put those things up on the screen? This is what we're going to talk. We are a gateway to salvation. We're a gateway to health, Jesus, relationship, rest, healing, restoration, grace. I put rest in there again. Not on purpose, but seriously, I have had so many people over the past 2 months actually say to me, I just feel like I can actually sit and rest. It's a thing of beauty. If you're in this church and you're feeling all burnt out on religion, this is a place of rest. Just come and sit. Let the Spirit of God refresh and restore you. This is a place for you to come alive in your faith and your salvation again. Amen. Hope, freedom, life. We are a gateway to these things. We are a gateway for you. We're a gateway for your people, for all people, for all generations. We are a generational church. We rejoice in it. We're excited by the fact we're generational. We've got kids that big and older people who are... I say it as a joke, but I revel in the fact that we are a generational church. The Church of Jesus Christ should look like every age group and every generation. No one should be left out. No one should be isolated. No special experience or encounter for one age group. Every single person within this church, every age group, we are a church of generations on purpose. On purpose. Ever wondering, ever feeling, oh, do I fit in? You fit in because you're part of the church, oneness, part of the Church of Jesus Christ, oneness, unity. You are called to be in a church that celebrates generations. Amen? We're a gateway for our city, for discipleship, for families. We are a gateway for the Holy Spirit. We're a gateway for the Holy Spirit. Why is that up on the screen? We're a gateway for salvation, but we're a gateway for the Holy Spirit. We're a gateway to Jesus. We need the fullness. We need salvation, and we need the Holy Spirit to be our guide, our comforter, to direct us, to guide us, come and speak to our heart, to reveal the heart of God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Amen? We're a gateway for God to start and complete these things in people's lives. We're a gateway for God to start and complete these things in your family's lives. How does that happen? We join him in our words, our actions, and our deeds. He speaks these things over us. He brings these things to restoration, and we join our heart, we join our words, our actions, and our deeds with these things. We're mandated to see all come into relationship with God and know that God's grace is for them. Know that God's grace is for them. We sum it up as a church like this. If you're new or you haven't been before, you may not have seen this before, but our mission as a church, this is what we feel that we're called to as a church because Jesus commanded it in Matthew 28. We exist to care for our community and connect every individual and their families to God to see them loved, reached, included, and restored. It's about coming into relationship, being discipled, baptism, everything that is caught up there in Matthew 28, and then seeing people sent to actually do what God's called them to do. Our heart, that all would have the opportunity for relationship with God and know God's grace to all. That's our heart as a church. Now, when it comes to God's presence and power, his words and actions and deeds are made known through his people. God uses us. So God could use me? Yes, God uses his people. God uses those who is saved through Jesus. He uses those who is redeemed. And I want to, in Psalm 24, verse 7, this is what it says. I want to breathe a spurt of passion and excitement into us this morning. This is what it says. So wake up, you living gateways. Lift up your heads and you ageless doors of destiny. Welcome the King of glory, for he is about to come through you. God uses people. God moves through people. Lift up your heads. Open your hearts. You're a gateway that God actually wants to move and work through. God wants his glory to be revealed into each and every single one of us, but not just for us, for the people that we're called to in the commission. Amen. In Matthew 7:14, it says this, but the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only few ever find it. I want to encourage you today, if you don't like the Bible, you pick the wrong day to come to church because this is scripture heavy this morning. if you wanted some little pep talk, we're in the Bible and the pep talk is coming from the Bible this morning. Amen? God is good. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only few ever find it. We're talking about, obviously, Jesus is that point. It has to come down to Jesus. It's not through any other thing. There is no other thing in this world, no other thing in the universe. Only Jesus is the access point. And I want to put it out there that we are those who help people find the gateway to Jesus. We are those who help bring people. The road is difficult to get through. The road is difficult to find when there are 100 billion things in this world that distract us and we go down this way and we go pursuing, trying to find fullness and freedom. We are those people who help people find the gateway to Jesus. We are the guides. We heard a couple of weeks ago that we have the power of invitation to help people find that place. The gateway to life, true life, is Jesus. It's a narrow gate. It's a narrow entrance. There are only few that ever make it through the narrow gate. We establish this in John 10, verse 9, that Jesus is the gateway. I'm the gateway. To enter through me is to experience life, freedom, and satisfaction. I want to encourage you to say, although the gateway is narrow and the road is difficult to find, God hasn't called us to live narrow after salvation. He hasn't. He hasn't called us to live a near empty life. His words state that he's called us to experience life and freedom and satisfaction according to his ways. The Apostle Paul puts it like this, "Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. Live big. Live connected. Don't let your past, don't let your past emotions or hurt or pain or loss or anger or mistrust, don't let anything fence you in. We're a gateway to healing. We're a gateway for you, for all people. We're a gateway to restoration. We're not fencing people in. In fact, we're providing a space for you. We're providing a space for all people to step into the wide open spaces that are found through Jesus, to step into healing, to step into freedom. We are a gateway for healing. The whole point of entering through the narrow gateway into the life of Jesus is then to live with fullness of life as outlined in John 10, verse 9. Every part of ourselves living in his love and walking out his freedom and purpose. Amen. We believe that we're a gateway to health. We believe that in our words, in our actions, in our deeds, and our values, that we should be bringing the scriptures to life within our culture. They're not just things we read on a flat piece of paper or a computer screen. We are called to bring those scriptures to life and reality within our community and within our culture as a church. In Proverbs 7:17-22, it says this: a joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul, but the one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression. I don't have time to teach deep on all these scriptures this morning. We're just putting it out there and we're helping us understand that we're a gateway to and a gateway for. But a joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both the body. How do we get a joyful and cheerful heart? Jesus. Jesus takes us on a journey. Jesus restores us. Holy Spirit, we renew our mind in Jesus day by day. And because of that, healing comes to our body. Healing comes to our soul. Jeremiah 33, verse 6. Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people and I will let them enjoy abundant peace and security. Powerful scripture. The word came to Jeremiah for God's people to turn to him. God's gracious heart towards his people. This is even before Jesus and the revelation understanding. That if people would turn to God, people would turn to him and pray, God is willing to share the deepest parts of his hearts with us. If we turn to Jesus through that narrow gate, he's willing to share the deepest parts of his hearts with us. He's willing to heal and restore and offer a place of rest and refuge. God is a God of promises. God is a God of restoration, health, and fullness to those who turn to him. Isn't that encouraging? So powerful. We're a gateway to rest. We're a gateway to health, and we're a gateway to healing. It's who we are as a church. How do we action rest? How do we action health? How do we action healing as a church? Proverbs 16:24. I'm glad you asked. Nothing is more appealing than speaking beautiful and life-giving words, for they release sweetness to our souls and inner healing to our spirits. How do we action rest, health, and healing? We speak the word of God over each other. We speak encouragement over each other. We speak hope over each other. Someone speaking down on themselves. No, that's not who God's called you to be. This is who God's called you to be. You're an overcomer. You're victorious through Jesus. We speak life-giving words. We speak hope. We speak spiritual gifts into action over each other. We pay attention and believe the scriptures. This is what it says in Proverbs 4:20-22. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep in your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Psalm 103:2-4. My soul, praise the Lord, and I'll never forget how kind he is. He forgives all our sins and heals all our sicknesses. He saves us from the grave and gives us love and compassion. powerful. Isaiah 40, 29. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Psalms. He heals their broken hearts and bandages their wounds. We believe that God is a healer. We believe it's God's heart. It's who he is. He wants to heal people. He wants to restore people. He wants to bring people back into perfect relationship with him. So we believe God is a healer, and we make space for God to move and speak to people, to heal hearts, to give power and strength. We're a gateway for salvation. We're a gateway for healing. We're a gateway for rest. We're a gateway for health, for freedom, for restoration, life. We're a gateway for hope. We're a gateway for you. We're a gateway for your people, for families, for all generations, our city, for discipleship, for the Holy Spirit to move on every heart. Why are we a gateway for these things and many more? It's as simple as this. 1 John 4, 19. Our love for others is our grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to us. That's why. That's why we want to be a gateway for these things. That's why we want to be a gateway to these things. It's our grateful response that God loved us first, demonstrated to us first, and all we can do is actually join him in doing the same. Amen? Our expression of love and welcome is purposeful. As a church, it's not by chance that when you walk into our church that we welcome you. It's not by chance that during the service we welcome you. It's not by chance that after the service we just want to have a coffee and spend time with each other. It's on purpose. It's deliberate. It creates this thing of beauty. The church being unified in togetherness and oneness. But really, really what it is it's us living out the scriptures. That's really what it is. Psalm 133 verse 1 says, how truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. How truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. It's that grateful heart that God has called us to live that way together. And we're committed to living out this expression of Christ, this expression of the church, this Christ-like nature, because we want to make spaces and be spaces for the brokenhearted. We want those who are crushed in their spirituality to find salvation and be renewed. It's our heart. We are a gateway for people to be placed back in healthy family. That's who we are as a church. Psalm 68 verse 6. To the fatherless, he is a father. To the widow, he is a champion friend. Getting a little bit emotional. To the lonely, he makes them part of family. To the prisoners, he leads them into prosperity until they sing for joy. Such a thing of beauty. This is our God. This is our holy God in this holy place. But for the rebels, there is heartache and despair, but not in our church. In our church, the rebels with heartache and despair get to come in, find a place of rest and refuge. Father, the fatherless, to the widow is a champion friend. To the lonely, he makes them part of family. So we are as a church. We are a gateway to hope. We are a gateway to hope. You know, God's heart for all humanity is restoration of relationship with him. It's always been his heart for his people. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. If you've ever been in a youth ministry, you heard this every week. It's true. I say this because I know that the plans that I have for you, this message is from the Lord. I have good plans for you. I don't plan to hurt you. I plan to give you hope and a good future. This is God's heart for his people. It's always his heart of hope for his people. Colossians 1 verse 27, God decided to let his people know just how rich and glorious that truth is. That secret truth, which is for all people, is that Christ lives in you, his people. He is the hope of our glory. Powerful scriptures that should move you inside, that should make you go, this is not religion. This is personal relationship with a God who loves me deeply. We're a gateway for hope to be known to this city. Each of the over 287,000 people in our city, we want to find a way to offer hope to them. And we pray that every church in our city is a gateway of hope for all of those over 287,000 people in our city. Why are we conscious of being a gateway to hope? Because we have a firm understanding that without hope, it makes people sick. Let me back that up with the scripture because it sounds pretty straight down the line, doesn't it? Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but Jesus is the tree of life. Amen. His freedom, his life in each and every single one of us. We're a gateway to freedom. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17. The Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. John 8:36. So if the Son makes you free, you are really free. You are really free. We're a gateway to relationship. Relationship with each other, relationship with God. Healthy relationships are born in this place. How do we make sure that stays the case? When fallouts happen, when harsh words are said, we come to each other in humility and we ask for forgiveness. We share the load of that together, amen? We have to action it. We have to exercise it. That's how we stay a gateway to health, and that's how we stay a gateway to relationship. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, the new life has begun, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. We're a gateway to relationship. We've come into relationship with God through Jesus. But now we've become, as the scriptures put it here, now we've become a gateway for reconciling others to God. Renewed relationship and renewed identities in and through Jesus. We're a gateway to salvation. John 3:17. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world. We're committed to creating spaces where people can find Jesus, be saved through him, and step into the life that he has for them. You know, Jesus, just as the band comes this morning, and I want to put this out there this morning. We are committed to creating spaces where people can find Jesus. We're already dreaming right now about how can we create new gateways for people to find Jesus in our city? How can we go to other places in our city? I'm not expecting people just to come here. How can we go as a church to other places in our city for people to find Jesus? Fully committed for you to go into your workplaces and your community and your families and your friendship groups and wherever God leads you and invite people to church. That has to be the heartbeat of any local church. Inviting people to the gateway so that they can have a relationship with Jesus. But how, we're dreaming right now. We are committed. We're like, if we have to go to a pop-up church service in a suburb that doesn't have a church in it, we'll do that. Committed to it. And we're saying, God, resources for that to happen. We're willing to step out, but we're not going to burn our people out doing it. Committed. And this is, Jesus puts it like this. John 12:44. Jesus shouted out passionately, "To believe in me is also to believe in God who sent me. For when you look at me, you are seeing the one who sent me. I've come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who trust in me will no longer wander in darkness. If you hear these words and refuse to follow them, I don't judge you. For I've not come to judge you, but to save you. So we'll keep being a beacon of light in dark places. We will join Jesus in being a beacon of light in those dark places. We will join Jesus in not judging people. We will join him in making sure that they know that he has come to save them. That's what matters right now. That's what matters right now. We are a gateway for salvation. We're a gateway for so many things. We're a gateway to Jesus. We're a gateway to so many things. You might be thinking to yourself, oh, is this just like just another sermon and we won't talk about this ever again? Oh, no. Oh, no. This is capturing who we are as a church. This is capturing who God has called us to be to our city. This is capturing who God has called us to be in our workplaces. We are gateway people. We are gateway people. We've not come to judge friends and family. We've not come to judge people in our world, but we're here to let them know that Jesus has come to save them. Why don't we stand to our feet for a moment this morning? What I'd love us to do this morning, just for a moment, I just wanted to lean into some worship for a moment. I felt God very clearly speak to me before I got up here this morning. And this word that I'm about to share with you is not just a word for one people. This is a word for many, many people this morning. Don't let this moment pass you by. Don't let this moment pass you by this morning. Those things that are troubling you, this is not the place that you come to forget them or to hide them. This is the gateway you come to see them healed and restored in Jesus' name. If there are things that are troubling you in your mind, there are things that are troubling you in your body, this is not the place you come to forget them or to hide them. This is the gateway you come to for them to be healed and restored in Jesus' name. If that's you this morning, just lift up your hands to Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to minister to you at this very moment. That's right. Hands are going up all over this place. Holy Spirit, ministering. This is your gateway of restoration. This is your gateway of healing. This is your gateway of refuge. This is your gateway of rest. This is your gateway of peace. This is your gateway of grace in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit is ministering to you right now. That's it. That's it. Let him speak to you clearly. Step out of it. This is your space this morning. If you're in this room this morning or you're watching online and you don't know Jesus yet, you haven't met Jesus yet, you haven't had him knock on your heart, and you've opened the door and said, yes, yes, come in. I want to have a relationship with you, Jesus. God is here this morning. Jesus has made a way. Jesus is the gateway for you to have a personal relationship with God. Jesus is the way for you to be saved and have salvation. If that's you this morning, see, I want to know Jesus personally. Maybe this is the first time that you've made this decision, or maybe this is the right time for you to make this decision. I just want to put it out there for you this morning. If you need to know him personally, if you need a relationship with him, I'm going to give you the opportunity to raise your hand in a moment. Once you've raised your hand, you can put it back down. But I want you to have the opportunity to go through that gateway, to go through that entranceway into the wide, open, spacious, expansive life that God has for you. You weren't called to feel fenced in by emotions. You weren't called to feel fenced in by hurt, bitterness. Those things, Jesus can come and actually help you work through those things. Jesus can come and begin the restorative healing process on your heart as you invite him in. He's like, I'm going to work with you on that. I'm not going to leave you alone on this. I'm with you. If that's you, on the count of three, whether you're in this room or watching at home, on the count of three, put up your hand and say, yeah, that's what I want. I want that real, personal, powerful relationship with Jesus. One, two, three. If that's you, hands up this morning. Hands up this morning. If that's you, if you're at home, hand up. Wherever you are, put your hand up. Once you put your hand up, you put it back down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Also, is there anyone else that's trying to say, yeah, that's me? Whether it's the first time or whether this is the right time, back into relationship. Anyone else this morning? So put your hand up and put it back down. Anyone else this morning? Don't let this moment pass you by. Just with everyone's eyes closed this morning, if you made that decision, if you put your hand up and say, yeah, I want Jesus. I need Jesus. I want to enter through that gateway, and I want him to enter into my heart. We're going to pray a prayer together. The greatest decision you could ever, ever, ever make, following Jesus and invite him into your heart. Maybe you didn't put your hand up, you're just like, oh, I'm embarrassed. Don't let that hold you back this morning from stepping into relationship with Jesus. You may not have put your hand up, but if right now, in your heart, right now, if you could say, I need Jesus, I can't do this by myself, I need him. Romans 10 verse 9, it actually says in Romans 10 verse 9 that if we believe in our heart, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. So whether your hand went up or your hand stayed down, that's besides the point this morning. The point is that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So as a church, we're going to pray this prayer together this morning. If you're at home, watching online somewhere, let's pray this prayer together. Declaring with our mouth, believing in our heart that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Let's pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you died on a cross, that you were buried and rose again for the forgiveness of my sins. I declare with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord and you raised him from the dead. From this day, I choose to follow you, Jesus, and I will follow you all the days of my life. I surrender my heart, I repent of my sins. I'm yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, can we put our hands together this morning and celebrate those people? We celebrate with you. We celebrate with you this morning. It's awesome. If you're at home and you made that decision to follow Jesus, we celebrate with you. If you're at home this morning and you made a decision to follow Jesus, or you're watching online, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, you'll find all the information about how to connect with us and what to do.